Hallelujah. You're loving Jesus. If you're loving Jesus, you can sit down. If you don't love him, stand up so I know who you are. Yeah, I don't really want to have to work as hard tonight, you know. Couple of quick announcements. Everybody's got them, but I brought two of my wife's books with me. Revival Roar is the newest one. And she put that out. I guess it came out the end of January. And it basically is a manual for revival, especially a prayer manual for revival. And we're in our fourth printing already, which is amazing. It's the, you know, it's the only book we've ever had published that sold out before we got the boxes. And because it's a timely word. I mean, the Lord woke my wife up in September of last year and spoke to her for 3 hours and said, this is what I want in you to write. Gave her the whole outline and said, I don't want you to vary from it. And she said, you know, my wife's been writing for a long time, wrote for Oral Roberts for years. And, you know, she said she's never had God basically. I mean, she's always known when she's supposed to write something, but she's never had God visit her and get an outline a book, you know. So this is what I call a timely word. It's the word for right now. This is what I call the timeless word. And some of you got this when it was an uglier book than this, but it's, we reprinted it called Righteousness Revealed, because without understanding righteousness, you cannot live by faith on a regular basis. And this is actually a classic. We have 150,000 we've sold of this particular book over the years. And you know, it's just, you know, one, the Revival Roar is $12 and the other one's $10. We're not trying to sell stuff, we're trying to help you. But I want to get into something. As we were worshiping tonight, I had a quick vision too, so it wasn't about big people. But what I saw was a bunch of puzzle pieces. And what God says is, I'm about ready to fill in the missing pieces. That we have been seeing things dimly because we don't have all the pieces. But it's about ready to all come together. Come on now. So that's what he just showed me. So I believe things are about ready to come together. It's coming quickly too. You know, you mentioned acceleration. It's coming quickly. Before I preach every time, God says, he told me in September of last year, begin to have the people say, I see revival. And I want you to say, I see revival. Because honestly, I see revival. When God first had me say that, I wasn't seeing much of anything other than he said, say, I see revival. Now I see revival. I came back from West Virginia and there 1,200 youth had just received Christ there in that community. Been ridden up in the thing. I've recently been in a place where they are actually, the pastor has services 5 times a week. I got there an off night. He took me by the church. He said, well, you won't believe this. The parking lot was full of people worshiping. He told him, he said, I'll preach 5 days a week. Well, they don't even, a lot of times they don't even open the building. They just have it right in the parking lot. Yeah, and it's full. And it was a church that was about ready to close its doors a year ago. But, you know, we talked about it being a year of the turnaround. That's a turnaround. God began to speak to me about next year. You can go to Acts chapter 3. Then next year, I believe, at least for me, what he showed me is it's going to be a year of release. The things that have been held up are going to be released. Come on now. I really believe there's going to be a tremendous release, you know, next year. And I believe a lot of what's going on right now is positioning ourselves for a release. Come on. Because if we're not in the right position, we're not going to receive what God is releasing. So right now, he's bringing the body together. Amen. And understand one thing. Anyone that's not against Christ, come on. For them. Because you got to understand something. You know, there are a bunch of people out there, and people say, well, I don't understand what's going on. I say, look for the candidate that's not Antichrist. Enough said of that. If you don't know that, I'll tell you later who to vote for. Come on. But Acts 3:19, let's start there. I believe that we're about ready to see the ultimate do-over. Come on now. I believe God's going to do a makeover in this nation. Come on now. I believe all of a sudden things are going to return. Come on. Return to their roots. I believe we're entering a new season, which is due season. Come on now. And things that wouldn't work in the last season are going to work in this season. And, you know, what I begin to recognize, God's about ready to do a new thing, but the only people that will see the new thing are those traveling an ancient path. Those that travel the highway of holiness will see the new thing God's doing. Come on, because without holiness, no one can see the Lord. So in order to see the new thing, you have to stay on the highway of holiness. Come on now. Not legalism, but holiness. But Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore. See, everything starts with repentance. Oh, and sometimes repentance is bawling and squalling. You know, there are times, honestly, I've repented because I've hurt people. I didn't mean to. You know? And those are the ones that usually break my heart because I hurt someone else's heart. You know, but other times repentance is just rethinking it. Come on. Have you ever been, you know, the penthouse is the highest floor. And many times God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts until we embrace them. And a lot of times we'll be in a place, and how many of you have ever been there, all of a sudden you almost like slap yourself because the light goes on. Come on. Oh, God, forgive me. I didn't even know that one. Forgive me for not seeing that. Come on now. And so it says repent and return. And times of refreshing are going to come from the presence of God. And what I love about your church and churches that I've been going to, they draw the presence of God. Because if Jesus is in the house, there'll be a crowd. Come on now. He'll draw all men. If Jesus' presence is resting in the house, and Jesus' presence is resting in this house, you're about ready to see more and more and more and more. The glory of God's going to be over you like a canopy. 24/7. You know, I've been living in a zone. I drink 24/7. Come on. And the more I drink from God's table, the better everybody looks. Because I don't judge. When I'm under the influence, I don't judge anyone according to the flesh. Come on now. You know, and God wants the church under the influence with that little silly grin. Come on. Some of you need to drink yourself happy. Come on. Hey, you used to drink. You were happy for a little while till next morning. You know, but with God, you can stay happy. Come on, no matter what the circumstances. In the presence of your enemy, sets a table. Said, drink, drink. Taste and see. If you're not willing to taste, you ain't going to see nothing. See, you know, we had a president one time. He said he didn't inhale. That's stupid. You know, I go to churches. I always can tell the inhalers and the fakers. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the fakers, they look at what everyone else is doing, but the inhalers are, wow. God! Yeah. Hey, did you see that? Whoa! And the other people are pretending. Me, I want to be an inhaler. Come on now. Hallelujah. You know, I found out something. Times of refreshing comes, and then you come out of that times of refreshing comes the restoration of all things. God's about ready to restore all things. All things. Come on. See, verse 21, it says, whom heaven must receive until the period of the restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient times. We're going to come into a season where God's going to restore everything. Come on now. Let's go to Jeremiah 18. We're going to have some fun tonight. I'm going to have fun anyway. I love the word and I love the season we're in right now. I don't love it in the natural. I got to stay in the spirit. You know, every time I watch the news, I just say job security. I'm needed. Ah, boy, am I needed. You're needed too. But Jeremiah 18:1, it talks about the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I shall announce my words to you. And then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. But the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled or ruined in the hands of the potter. I believe that a lot of things, God's about ready to restore ruined cities. And I'm watching him restore ruined lives. You know, all the people need is a touch from the potter. And he said, and he was making something, and he said, but the vessel that he was making was ruined in his hand, so he remade it, is what it says in the Hebrew, into another vessel as he pleased. That's the ultimate makeover. God said, you know something? He said, I'm about ready to put my hand on you, and the Holy Ghost will come on you and change you into another man. Come on now. He said, I'm about ready to remake some stuff. I'm going to touch it. I am literally going to take away all the mess and I'm going to make it into a masterpiece. Come on now. See, we see the ultimate do-over with the first Adam and last Adam. We know the first Adam sinned. And because of that, all men sinned. Come on. You know, sin entered the world because of Adam. But the last Adam came back and righteousness was restored. And what you'll see in Romans chapter 5, that so much more was restored through the last Adam. You know, death reigned through the first Adam because of sin. But we reign through the last Adam because of righteousness. Because of the free gift of righteousness, something's about ready to come. You know what's going to happen these last days? God is going to reveal the sons of God. And we're going to have a revelation of who we really are. I still believe most of us are trapped as servants instead of sons. And of course we're sons who serve. But if we're trying to serve to become a son, we missed it. Come on. Now we are the sons of God. The whole earth is waiting for the revelation to hit us. Because once the revelation hits us, the devil's reign is over. Come on now. Because all power, all authority has been given unto us. And we are joint heirs. Come on. And everything. Once you understand you're a son, you have no problem asking big. Because your daddy's rich. You know? When my son knows everything I have is his. So, I mean, if I come home and one of the cars is missing, I know he got it. You know, my ties are missing. Now, my clothes, he can't, you know, they wrap around three times, but still. That's why I'm staying big. No. No temple for me. Cathedral! Come on! More room for God! But, you know, what I love about it is everything I have is his. And he doesn't act like he doesn't own it. He acts like he owns it. Well, I love about my son because now he's richer than I am. Everything he has is mine. He borrowed my car. I borrow his airplane. And his pilot. Come on. But God's restoring things. How many people are saying God's delivered us from the curse? Come on. Most of us, we're still plagued by the curse because of our thinking. You know? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That you've been redeemed from, literally from the enemy. Come on. You know, we're already blessed. We're already rich. Come on. You see, too many times we're living off our earnings, so we're struggling. If we were living off our inheritance, we'd be prospering. Because our earnings is based on what we do. Our inheritance is based on what he has done. Come on. See, Jesus came to reintroduce the kingdom. I want to talk about some re's. Re means to do again. God wants to, he literally wants to do things again. He wants to bring us back to the original state. Come on. You know, we were, you know, Adam was placed in the garden to reign. He's called to have dominion. And that's not those little creatures. I love the minions, by the way. I don't know. You got me in this little zone, you know? That's sad. You know, I'm trying to be serious like once in my life. And I had a nerd mess me up. Thank you. I felt like I was at home. And, you know, my son, he has all this stuff, and he's laughing hilariously. I don't have a clue what's going on, but I'm enjoying it. So you come to, you may not know what's going on at the Geek Conference. You'll enjoy it. Come on now. But God reintroduced Jesus. What did he do? His first message was the kingdom. Repent. The kingdom's at hand. You know, his last message was the kingdom. You know, raised from the dead over 40 days, showing himself alive, talking about the things of the kingdom. If God's going to restore all things, it has to be through the kingdom, because literally with the kingdom comes all things. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things. Come on, all these things. The rule and the reign of Christ, come on. So God's restoring the message of the kingdom. He's restoring the message of righteousness. You know, he restored our righteousness. Righteousness is the ability to stand in God's presence without the sense of guilt, fear, and inferiority. It's the ability to stand in God's presence as Jesus himself. And if you don't understand that, you're going to miss out. And God made you righteous on the inside, so eventually it would show on the outside. The message of righteousness will eventually, the fruit of righteousness will be holiness. You know, that's why he gave you grace to deny ungodliness. Come on. So that you would never have to have the excuse, I don't have the power. Well, grace is God's ability. Righteousness, you're walking with him. He gave you the righteousness so you can ask. Anytime you need anything, you can ask for his ability. So you come to his throne of grace boldly. Come on, to receive his ability. Does this make sense? So God's restoring that, and the foundation of the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. Peace and joy comes from a revelation of righteousness. Boldness comes from a revelation of righteousness. Victory comes from a revelation of righteousness. Come on, you reign because of the grace, but that's through the free gift of righteousness. When you understand righteousness, you understand you have a right to rule. Come on. I was on a plane one time. This lady was, you know, we got into this little conversation, and I don't know how she asked me what I did, and I told her. And I asked her what she did, and she was going to some abortion rights thing. So I looked at her, so I said, so, you know, and I'd say it as nicely as possible. I said, so you like killing babies? And she looked over at me. She said, I don't believe they're a baby. And this was a nurse. I said, you have no intellectual integrity. Because I said, if you thought that's a tissue, let the tissue grow. You know, you wouldn't have to abort a tissue. Come on. I said, you have no intellectual integrity. She looked at me. She said, you're part of the religious right. I said, at least you know I'm right. Come on now. You know, I said, yeah, you're probably part of the religious wrong. Come on. But see, the righteous are bold because we're right. We're right. When you agree with God, you're right. I don't care what PC says, you're right. Come on now. You know, I think it's right to know which bathroom to use. And the other is so wrong. Dumb and dumber. Which one do I use? Which one? Why are we having these conversations? I'm looking at this. You know why? Because righteousness hasn't been established in this. Come on. And because some of preachers have backed away because we wouldn't want to offend everyone. I don't care who I offend if I agree with God. If I disagree with God, then I'm offensive to him. Come on now. See, I'll be honest with you, I try to offend people up front so I can get it over with. Come on. You know, get over yourself. But see, come on. See, Jesus came so that believers could have the Holy Spirit living in them. That's the difference, is instead of being in the garden's in us. And we're greater than we're greater than John the Baptist, who is the greatest prophet, according to what Jesus said. In the Old Covenant, the least in the kingdom is greater. Why? Because John the Baptist never had God living on the inside of him. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Many times, how many of you get in situations and all God wants you to do is like unzip yourself, let him out. Come on now. Say, hey! I hear God sometimes say, I want to pick a fight. He sees bullies, come on, literally oppressing people. And I hear God say, let me out, let me out, let me out. You know? Amen. See, you need to understand something with the Holy Ghost in you. You're not a mere man. You know? Years ago, God used to get my case, because I remember I used to say these words, I'm only human. And he said, don't ever say that. He said, you once were only human. People without Christ are only human. But the moment you receive Jesus, you are not only human. You are human, but you're not only human. You got God on the inside of you. Come on now. You are supernatural. It's not natural for such supernatural people to act so naturally. Come on now. You are a new breed. Come on. You've got a different DNA on the inside of you. You're capable of seeing things and knowing things. Come on. Revelation knowledge is going to come your way. There are things that only... If you're only human, you are subject to only flesh and blood. Your father can't reveal anything to you. Come on. But because we're not only human, we get revelation downloads that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. And God says, I will build the church on that type of revelation, not on the wisdom of man, but on the power and the anointing and the clarity of God. I will open up the heavens so you can actually manifest heaven on earth. Come on, somebody. Some of you are going to get excited about this. Come on. See, I believe God's trying to retrain believers so that we can disciple cultures. Come on. Matthew 28, it didn't say to disciple people, although that's part of it. It said to disciple nations. Our city in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the culture is Christian. Very few places can say that, even in this nation. Our culture is Christian. You go to most restaurants, they're playing worship music. You're going, you know, it's just the way it is. And that's why when there was a tragedy this week, a shooting, and the same people that tried to stir up riots and were bussed in this time in Oklahoma, it didn't happen. There was some protest, but it was peaceful. Why? Because we are a different culture. You ain't going to pull that stuff on us. You are not going to pull. We are not going to put up with that because the kingdom doesn't put up with garbage. Come on now. Yeah. You know, we'll do the right thing, and we'll do, you know, we'll go through the process. But it's a different culture. Why? Because churches were raised up. You know, it wasn't always that way, but it is that way now. See, I believe this area is going to change because of you guys. There's a different culture. It's a kingdom culture. And literally, it's something that, honestly, you're not just doing this little thing in the corner. You're going to do it in every arena of life. Come on now. We're going to take back the business. We're taking back the idea centers. We're taking back the athletics. We're taking back the entertainment. When the righteous rule, everybody rejoices. Come on. Does this make sense? So you begin to, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He basically, what he did was gave authority back to man. Adam lost the authority. Jesus regained it, then he gave it back to us. Whatever we bind will be bound. Whatever we loose will be loose. Come on now. You need to understand that. You have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Devil has no right. When you use his name, it's like him using his name. Devil has to go every single time. We got authority over sickness and disease. We got authority. We have authority. You can take authority over the spirit of infirmity. Come on now. We can see chains break everywhere we go. We should be breaking chains, breaking chains, breaking chains, when literally setting captives free. And whatever, you know, if you've been set free, you're an authorized dealer of freedom. Come on now. What's ever been broken off of you, you can break off of others. Whatever God has done for you, he will do through you. If you've been shown mercy, you show others mercy. If you've been forgiven, you begin to talk to others about the forgiving power of God. If you've ever been healed, you can lay hands on the sick. And they'll recover. It's just the way it is. And this thing cannot be stopped. We can do the very works of Jesus because we got the same power, we have his authority, and we have him living in us. See, it's a do-over. Guys, I'm going to do it over. And he said, the greatest do-over in the history is about ready to take place on earth. You know, he's not coming back until Satan has been made his footstool. What does that mean? When the church rises up, when the sons of God are manifest, they're going to put the devil underneath their feet, and then Jesus said, okay, now I can come. You won't see that. You won't see. You won't see the church triumphant. And the marriage supper of the Lamb is not going to be a consolation dinner of a bunch of losers. It's like, oh, yeah, we tried. Forget it. No, it's going to be, hey, we whoop that. Anyway, come on now. You know what I'm saying. We're going to chase that devil out of town. Come on. It's time we begin to turn. See, Jesus came to reveal the Father, the source of all authority. And what I found out is one of the greatest revelations that's coming, honestly, is the revelation of the Father. Many of us were trapped because we don't have a revelation of the Father. Many of us are stuck because of our fathers. Our earthly fathers weren't all that good or absent. But the bottom line is our Heavenly Father is a good, good Father. And when Jesus came, he said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Come on now. And when you pray our Father. See, a lot of times people have trouble because their whole concept is we're trying to get God to do something. Because we don't believe he's wild about us. He is. He is totally wild about you. He absolutely is in love with you. Well, I got these messes in my life. He loves you enough to get you out of them. He knows you have messes. He still loves you. Come on. That's why you can come to him and say, God, I need you to clean me up. Come on. How many of you, God's cleaned you up a lot? How many of you know he's still cleaning you up? You know, there are moments I'm thinking, oh, I thought, you know. I honestly go long periods of time without really, I repent a lot of little things. But occasionally I'll get one and thought, oh, man. But you know, God said, it's not that big a deal. Just come. I said, Lord, I'm better than that. He said, yeah, see? That's repentance. You know you're better than that. You used to not know you were better than that. That's progress. Come on now. You know, man, you're no longer a victim. You're a victor. So when you fall into prey to some stupid attitude or something, you know that's not you anymore. Come on now. You know, you're not the depressed one. You're the happy one. You're not the tail anymore. You're the head. And life looks better from the head. Life smells better from the head. I always say when life stinks, just ask God to flip you. You got the wrong side up. Come on. Trust me. Trust me, I've been both places. And what the revelation of righteousness does is flips you. All of a sudden, you begin to get bold as a lion. See, how many of you understand God wants to put supernatural boldness back in the church? One of David's mighty men, I forget his name now, 2 Samuel 23. I love this guy because it says this guy was a man's man. It says that he chased a lion. He chased a lion into a pit. On a snowy day. He chased them. I mean, what time? Have you gone to the zoo and looked at lions? This guy crazy, man. He chased a lion. And he probably had sandals on. So it was a weird day. Into a pit on a snowy day. It wasn't even like a dry out. He saw the lion and he just went after him. What would happen? The devil comes in like a lion. What would happen if we all become lion chasers? Come on now. Oh, we about ready to have a party. Instead of us being the ones doing the running, why not cause him to flee? Come on now. See, Jesus came to restore the kingdom rulership of God on earth through us. Come on. See, literally, heavens belong to God. The earth belongs to the Son of Man. God says, I've sent you here for government increase. Just not this one. I'm all for government increase because it says that the increase of his government knows no end. I want his rulership to increase. And be honest with you, I want our rulership to decrease. Not our rulership, but our countries. You know, best thing in the world is if the righteous would rule. We are kings and priests. We are already kings. Yeah, I remember one time I was flying on a plane. They bumped me up to first class, which I like. You know? And I was next to this real fancy guy. And I was young back in those days. I still am young on the inside. But I was young both places, you know, in and out. And he looks over at me and said, what do you do for a living? I said, I speak to kings. You said, what? I said, I mostly speak to kings or wannabes. He said, are you an ambassador? I said, yes, I am. He said, you're awfully young to be an ambassador. I said, I know a 7-year-old ambassador. I know a 5-year-old ambassador from my kingdom. Because the moment you become born again, you become an ambassador for Christ. Come on now. Hey! You're never too young, never too old to be an ambassador. An ambassador has authority from another place. See, all we do is we rule by the authority that's been given us. And Jesus literally redeemed us. He bought us back. You are God's property. You should look in the mirror and talk about, hey, I belong to God. I belong to God. I am His. He is mine. Come on. I've been redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I've been purchased by His precious blood. I'm not unworthy. Now I'm undeserving. That's all by grace. You know, I didn't earn it. In fact, when He picked me, I had nothing to offer. The only things I have to offer back to Him is the good stuff He's giving me right now. You know, everything else is junk. Now, I believe sometimes, you know, God's about ready to do new stuff, and guess what? Some of you, He'll deal with some of the old stuff. How many of you know sometimes you have to clear out the old to make room for the new? You know, some of my life right now, there's been some clutter. I've had to get out of some clutter, you know? And it was good stuff when it was new. But I found out when in God, everything stays new. When it's not new, it's not God. Because He'll renew your youth. Come on now. Come on. He causes us to renew our mind. Every time when we're called to walk in newness of life, if it's not new, it's not God. Religion is something most denominations started new. They started as a move of God. But then they built a monument to the move. And they honestly, what they did is they worshiped the move, not the God of the move. And it ends up as a mortuary where God used to be. That's why I always tell people, don't chase moves of God, chase the God of the move. Because if you'll grab hold of God, wherever you'll never miss a move of God. Come on now. There have been times I've had to grab hold of Him and had to leave people I love because they were still at a brook that dried up. Because they thought because God gave them the brook, it would stay wet forever. Come on. And what God does is He takes us from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, from experience to experience. Every time you experience something, Then you ask for the explanation. That's why I tell people, I said, too many times we're trying to get people to be hungry for our explanation when they've never had an experience. Sometimes you have to throw people in the river, then explain the river. You know, now that, you know, what was that? Now this is that. Come on now. Something's about ready to break in this place. You ready to see that? You know, God's about ready to revive, breathe again, breathe again, breathe again. That's part of the He's going to breathe again on the work in the mix. I don't know about you. I've caught a second wind. And be honest with you, I'm not only caught a second wind, I am riding a wave right now. How many of you understand when you're in the flow, you don't work. You yield. The hardest thing in the world is to try to create a flow. And sometimes we break up fallow ground, break it up, break it up, break it up. And sometimes we have to try to do whatever we can do. But now something's changed in the atmosphere. It's even changed in here, in this place. And you can sense it. You're in a flow now, in a flow now, in a flow now. It's like, you know, God comes easy now. You walk in, He's here. Come on now. You wake up. He's in there. I mean, it's easy to access Him now. You're in the flow. Revelation begins to flow. And see, we have an army of dry bones, but now we're prophesying to the wind. Because without a win, they ain't going. I remember when I played ball, you know. It's funny because you know, coaches are normally they were all ex pro ball players, and you know, but they weren't in ball player shape. You have this little fat bald guy telling you to run the stadium steps, run, and you go and you're up and down, and they would break you down. You feel like you can't take another step, but you're trying to break through a barrier. Some of us, we've been there spiritually, and guess what? We have a coach. It's the Holy Ghost. He's like, keep going. I can't take another. Keep going! Because he knows you break the barrier, you get in a level you've never been. Now, yeah, the Holy Spirit, not like my fat coaches. I've just felt like, you run, fat man. but I was so grateful once I hit it. Once I hit a zone, and we hit a zone, man. We push through. There's a release coming because we push through. Don't stop pushing. But it's a lot easier running once you get through the next level. All of a sudden, supernatural progress. God begins to restore, bring things back to the original. God's gone, literally, we're coming into a period where all the wasted years, God's about ready to restore them. Come on. But God's going to restore double for our trouble. But God's going to take us to our height and double it. He's about ready to do something. He's about ready to make history. I love it when God adds, but I've been in situations recently where there's a lot of multiplication. My own home church that I work with now, as God brought me to this smaller place, and not small, but smaller place. In the last 6 months, we've doubled, and we were not that small. We bought a movie theater, and we were in two of the theaters. Now we've knocked out in a couple of walls. Now we're in four theaters. We're moving. And it was supernatural. I mean, you know, for years, the church has been going for 7 years. They never saw anything like that. But it's the season. Get ready for the season. See. I believe God is, you know, when he says repent, you know what he says? Get back to the original thinking. God's original thinking. Come on. We're coming to a place of reconciliation. He's going to reconcile. In fact, he's reconciled us to him, and now he wants us to reconcile the world. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Be reconciled. Come on. Plead with people. Plead with them. You know, I love it when, you know, years ago my son came into my bedroom and he said, Daddy, God gave me a lifetime verse. And, you know, I laughed. I said, I knew he had never heard that term before. He's like 5 years old. I said, what's your lifetime verse? He says, Psalm 2:8. He said, ask of me and I'll give you heathen for your inheritance. He said, Daddy, I want my heathen. I want my heathen. Every night he would pray, give me my heathen. Then when we go to McDonald's, he'd look, is that my heathen? Is that my heathen? Is that my heathen? And there was this one guy. He was an atheist. My son started witnessing to him. I mean, he's only 5 or 6 years old. He said, Daddy, that's my heathen. Well, the guy was terrified of my son. When this McDonald's we went to often, every time we would come, the guy would try to go on break. And the workers would say, your heathen's in the back. Your heathen's in the back. I don't know if he ever got born again, but I guarantee you that's my son's heathen. Some of you need to locate your heathen. Come on now. Is that my... Some of you need to go into work and ask, are you my heathen? Are you my heathen? It's all right. See, and God, you know what God's doing now? He's going to resurrect some stuff. They're dreams. They're things that we've had to shelve. Now it's time. We're coming to the fulfillment of every vision. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. The power of the resurrection. I found out something about God. Sometimes God will say, just like he did when Martha and Mary were both upset about Lazarus being dying. And they had almost had a right to be. I hate to say that. Because they sent word to Jesus that he was dying, and Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. You can read it. And then he dies. So in one sense, I understand them. How many of you know there are times things don't make sense? Because God's about ready to do something new. When things don't make sense, he's about ready to do something you've never seen them do before. He's about ready to give you a revelation of him you have never seen before. And you know what did Jesus say? Where did you lay him? You know what he was saying? Where did you give up believing? Where's the place you gave up hope? Where is the place you gave up on your dream? Where is the place where you buried it? Because he said, the dream was of me, so I'm going to resurrect it. Come on now. There are a lot of dreams we have laid down that are God dreams, and they're God assignments, and he's asking you, where did you lay it down? I'm about ready to resurrect it. Come on now. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. See, many times God's asked us to do the same thing we did before and failed and do it again. And he said, launch out to the deep. I mean, it's bad enough you do it, you fail in the shallow. But then he wants you to get in way over your head. God's saying to do it again. I'm about ready to do something. You know, it may not have looked like it worked the last time, but he said I was pleased with you. Because I was prepping you. I knew what was coming. But I'm going to give you a revelation that you've used up the fish in the shallow end. So a lot of people are still trying to fish in the shallow end and there ain't no fish left there. God knows where the fish are. I know people who use techniques they used 50 years ago. They were great 50 years ago. They're not great anymore. Come on. Does this make sense? God's about ready to resurrect things. You know? He's literally going to get it. Some of you, you had a setback, took a step back. God's planned your comeback. You're on return. You're on return. You're on return. You're going to be better than ever, better than ever. How many of you have ever been in a place where all of a sudden you know you're back? You know you're back. Come on now. I love it when you look in your back. You know, you may have gone through a funky season where all this stuff broke out and you didn't feel like yourself. And it was hard to hear. It was hard. Son, there are seasons God even carries you. But there comes a time when you're back and you know it. You look in the mirror and all of a sudden you had a setback, you took a step back, now you've come back. God's literally removed your shame, restored your name, called you to fame. Come on. It's a whole different thing. You ready for this? You know what God also said? Get ready for recompense. He said, I'm not unjust to forget your labor early. He said, payday's coming, payday's coming, payday's coming. I've got this candy bar. I always keep payday candy bars around. I love the word payday. The problem is I eat them. Then I have to buy another one. Come on now. You know, I also love $100,000 bars. Have you ever seen those? I usually eat 10 at a time, so I got a million. Hey! I'm a prosperous man. My friend goes to Africa. He's a huge guy. And in Africa, if you're huge, you're prosperous. You know, the bigger you are, the more prosperous you are. And he goes with this little skinny guy, man. He is so skinny. It's so funny. He said, he goes and everyone gathers around him. And they said they're saying in, you know, in the different African languages, be like him, he's prosperous. Be like him, he's prosperous. You know? So sometimes, you know, when I'm starting to gain weight, I said, prosperous. But see, how many of you know God is doing something? And the last thing I want to talk is he's about ready to give you your reward. God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. God's in the reward system. You got to understand something. God literally, if you do something that he rewards you. He's giving you the inheritance, but when you operate by faith, it pleases him. And when it pleases him, then the things that you've been believing for that are already yours begin to manifest. Understand, heavy's here tonight. So I always call God heavy. You know why he's heavy? Because he's loaded. He wants to load you down with benefits. He wants you to be heavy with everything good. Come on. How many of you have ever been in the atmosphere changes because heavy came in? See, there's a bad heaviness. There's a spirit of heaviness that gets you depressed. But there's a good heaviness where God begins to sit on you. And when God sits on you, he conforms you to his image. He'll sit on you and sit on you until you look more like him. He'll begin to download things while he's sitting on you. All of a sudden, you know what to do because you're with heavy. It's about to get heavier and heavier. I know, because all of a sudden, you're just like, whoa. The Most High came in. But today, how many of you know God wants to touch you, make you new again? And many times, we're one touch away. I love teaching, and we need to have as much teaching as possible, but I also love the touch. You know, there are times, remember when Jesus prayed for that one blind man, and he said, what do you see? And he said, I see men as trees walking. You know, that's pretty good when you were blind. When you're blind and seeing anything, that's good. That's an improvement, but improvement's not God's will. God's best is total healing. So Jesus touched them again. Come on, Jesus touched them again. And many of us, we got vision, but it's not clear. It's not clear, but it's vision. But it's not clear. We need another touch. We need another touch. We need another touch. We need another, God, just touch me again. How many of you say, God, just touch me again? How many of you have areas you want God to touch in your life? Come on now. How many of you know you sometimes you can't do it without the touch. You can't. God wants to touch and literally impart something to you tonight. So I'm going to ask you, if you just hunger for a touch of God, I want to pray for you tonight. Come on up. And if you need a healing, let me know. And we just came. I got the nicest report last night. It was the neatest thing. I was preaching in Franklin, PA, and this couple came up to me and said, do you remember the young Catholic lady we brought last year? She had never been in a service like that. She was basically totally shaken because she was in the last stage of the fourth, last stage of cancer. She was in her early 30s, had several young kids. And I remember when she came up for prayer, she said, there's no hope apart from God. I said, well, you got that one right. I said, do you believe God can heal you? She said, well, I kind of do. I said, that doesn't make a difference. He's going to do it anyway tonight. I said, you know, I just knew. My faith, I just knew. I knew. I knew, because it took her faith just to get up there. God will meet you sometimes where you're at. And I told her, I said, I'm going to pray for you, and the power of God's going to hit you. That cancer's leaving. So we prayed, and power of God hit her. She never experienced anything like that. She got up. I said, now that that's happened, you want to receive Jesus? She said, huh? So I had her invite Jesus into her heart. When she went back to the doctor, there's no trace of cancer. None. And, you know, a year later, she's gone back every month, and doctors finally said, forget it, don't come back. There's no trace. No trace there's ever been cancer. There's no trace of the radiation that she had taken. You know, God restored. Well, if a touch from God can do that, every one of you, we have areas we need touched. So let's lift our hands up to heaven. Thank Him for His touch. Thank Him for His touch. I love teaching, but this is a touching night. We release that. There's the power of God right there. Just take it.